women in their 40s might suffer from a redistribution of fat, and it generally tends to be around the midsection. Would you say that this is part of the natural aging process, or is there something we can actually do about this?
You can always do something about it.
Yes.
What can we do? Yes. What can we do?
Hey, hey, and welcome to the 40s Formula, your go-to place for insightful discussions on navigating the 40s and thriving in this transformative decade.
We're your hosts, Jasmine and Amanda, two women that are passionate about exploring the challenges and adventures that come with turning 40 and what lies ahead.
Dr. Mina Karelia Ehrman is a physician scientist and board-certified lifestyle medicine doctor with over 25 years of research in cardiometabolic diseases, conducted at leading universities in Finland, the United States, and Singapore. Her extensive publications in top-tier journals cover critical topics such as obesity, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. In recent years, Dr. Mina has dedicated herself to advancing lifestyle medicine, becoming board-certified lifestyle medicine physician in 2022. A year later, she founded Karelia Health, where she works locally and internationally to promote evidence-based lifestyle interventions that prevent, treat, and even reverse disease. Through Karelia Health, she not only educates healthcare professionals and the public, but also consults private clients, startups, and large healthcare organizations on the science of health-promoting lifestyle and how to apply it in real life. Dr. Mina is also the founding president of the Singapore Society of Lifestyle Medicine, established in 2023, where she is driving initiatives that place lifestyle at the forefront of healthcare. Last but not least, Dr. Karina is a registered yoga teacher, a nature lover, and a mother of two, and lives in Singapore with her husband for over 24 years. We are so excited to have Dr. Mina here with us today on the 40s Formula. And the reason we're so excited is because we are going to be talking about lifestyle medicine. Now, lifestyle medicine has been gaining some popularity recently. There seems to be this shift towards preventative and holistic approach in healthcare. But for some people who haven't heard of the term lifestyle medicine, could you please explain to us what that actually means and how it differs from the traditional medical approaches?
Sure. So lifestyle medicine is a medical specialty that uses evidence-based therapeutic lifestyle interventions as primary modality to treat disease, prevent disease, treat disease, manage, even reverse disease. And it's really a patient-centered approach compared to conventional medicine, where the patient is like a passive receiver of the care. In lifestyle medicine, patient really takes an active role in all this holistic care model. And the doctor works with the patient, and it's also a multidisciplinary team that can help the doctor and the patient to carve out this perfect lifestyle intervention for that particular patient.
So for someone who's in their 40s, who hasn't had any sort of previous history of illness, should they consider this type of approach, or should they wait until something happens? You know, when is the best time to introduce lifestyle medicine?
Oh, from early on. The earlier the better, for sure. I mean, it really starts from the childhood, or even when the baby's in the womb still. But so the earlier the better, because a lot of the chronic diseases, they actually take decades to develop. And that's why your prevention should also start decades before these diseases develop. So really in the childhood, if you establish like healthy eating habits, physical activity, sleeping habits, these really carry a huge gains later on in life, because it's much easier than to maintain these healthy habits into adulthood. And if you haven't started the healthy habits earlier, then it's never too late. You can always always improve your health and prevent more diseases from happening.
And I, for one, am so glad that you brought up sleep. So I have three little kids at home. So I have a four-year-old, a three-year-old, and now an eight-month-old. And we are absolutely crazy about sleep. I mean, I will go to such great lengths to protect my kids' sleep routine. And first of all, to establish that routine, right? And the consistency, the bedtimes, the wake times, everything, and then to protect it, right? So we say no to any invitation for any birthday party or whatever that happens after 5 p.m. It doesn't happen in my house because my kids are in the bathtub by 5:45 because they're in bed by 6:30. And so, you know, it's funny that you mentioned like establishing things in childhood makes it so much easier and kind of more natural to then have proper sleep hygiene as an adult, right?
Yes.
Are there other things that you think that parents with kids of either my age or older kids, right, should be doing with their families from young to really help establish, set them up for success in their later years?
Yeah. So, I mean, eating habits are one definitely big thing. I mean, the lifestyle medicine, I should have mentioned in the first question, like actually there are six pillars in lifestyle medicine that are healthy eating and really like plant predominant eating pattern and the physical activity, restorative sleep, but also stress management and avoidance of risky substances and then positive social connections. And we can talk about all these in detail later. But so from the early childhood, if you have all these in your life, you definitely are in a very good track in your adulthood and preventing all the chronic diseases. But these are all applicable for, you know, later ages as well. Yes. But if you learn these in the childhood, it's been shown, for example, in obesity research in decades ago, because my PhD actually was on obesity million years ago. But it was shown that in the families where they had mealtimes together, everyone was eating at the same table, these kids were in reduced risk of developing obesity later. So the common mealtimes in families, they really are associated with the healthy eating patterns and stronger social connections. Mm-hmm. And all these protect from chronic diseases later in life.
Yeah, that's hitting two big pillars.
Yeah, exactly. It fits in perfectly. And it's funny, isn't it? You'll go to a restaurant and you'll say, oh, can I have the kids menu? And the kids menu is French fries, chicken nuggets,
maybe
pasta.
A bolognese.
Bolognese is probably
lightest food.
And, you know, these are the types of things that are not setting up the child for better eating habits throughout their lifetime. Because I do know adults now who still don't eat vegetables, who still don't, you know, get enough fiber in their diet. And I guess all these habits start from when they're younger. But how much of these habits are, I guess, lifestyle driven versus maybe a change in the gut microbiome? Do you think that can affect how people eat as well?
Oh, everything affects everything. Okay. So how the six pillars actually synergize to promote the health and affect each other is really, you know, they can either form like a vicious cycle or then you can like, you know, go back and restore everything. Because the gut microbiome, healthy gut microbiome that starts with eating fiber every day, and fiber you only get from plants. So that really can support your metabolism, your brain health, gut health, reduce inflammation. Mm. And when your gut health is good and supporting you, like reducing chronic low-grade inflammation, for example, you have a easier time to sleep. Mm. You have less pains. I mean, if you're going to talk about menopause, yeah. Yes,
it's coming.
Very, very important. If you are physically active, you have a better sleep quality also. Physical activity also contributes to microbiome. Mm-hmm. And if you are sleep deprived, that's been associated with inflammation levels, higher inflammation levels. And inflammation in itself actually feeds to leakiness of the gut. And other things like risky substances, substances like tobacco and alcohol, they contribute to the microbiome, deteriorating that. And whatever else, the positive social connections. This is really important to understand that also the positive social connections contribute to your stress levels. And can actually, there was a study I want to mention, really, it's so remarkable, I think. If you have acts of kindness towards other people versus towards yourself, the kindness towards other people actually reduces the gene expression level of your inflammatory genes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's so amazing.
Wow. Yes, yes, it is.
So take two doses of being kind and call me in the morning.
Yes. Yes. So really all the six pillars are tightly linked and can support each other in creating more health and promoting health. And just to mention about the chronic low-grade inflammation, it's really present in all chronic diseases. Mm-hmm. It really contributes all the... diseases in the end that we think like, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, any kind of lung diseases, autoimmune diseases, or the brain, neurodegenerative diseases, they're all linked to chronic low-grade inflammation. Wow. Yeah.
It's scary, isn't it? Like how much it can affect, like inflammation, how much it can affect your body in so many different ways.
Yes. Yes.
So going back to menopause and possibly obesity, women in their 40s might suffer from a redistribution of fat, and it generally tends to be around the midsection. And we know that this could be because of, say, low muscle tone, low estrogen. Would you say that this is part of the natural aging process, or is there something we can actually do about this?
You can always do something about it.
Yes.
What can we do? Yes. What can we do? Amanda, you know, I've been raving about the Meat Club for over a year now, and for good reason. It's honestly made my life so much easier.
Oh, also mine. I don't have to think twice about what I'm cooking. Their grass-fed beef, organic chicken, wild-caught seafood are so fresh and ethically sourced. It's food that I feel good about feeding my family.
And it's not just the quality, it's the convenience. The subscription model is perfect for busy families. Once you set it up, everything arrives fresh exactly when you need it. Plus, you get up to 15% off with every subscription order.
And let's not forget the exclusive rewards. They've got perks worth $140 for subscribers. Things like a chef's knife, a wooden chopping board, and even a $30 voucher. It's like they know exactly what all the home cooks need.
Honestly, I wish something like this existed years ago. It's been such a lifesaver for planning meals, and I know our listeners are going to love it too.
If you haven't tried the Meat Club yet, use code TFF12 for $12 off your first order. There's no minimum spend. Just visit themeatclub.com.sg and experience the difference for yourself.
And make sure to follow them on Instagram at themeatclubsg for recipes and special offers. The Meat Club, trusted by us, loved by families, and perfect for yours.
And now, back to the show.
So, but yes, for sure it's part of the natural process. Called aging. Yes. We start to lose muscle. It starts in our 30s already, right? But it becomes more visible, actually, in our 40s. Mm-hmm. And then when we start to lose muscle mass gradually, muscle is metabolically more active than adipose or fat tissue. And that then, if we have less muscle mass, our basal metabolic rate will be also lower because muscle burns more energy than fat tissue, right? So this is one factor. Then other is the hormone levels, estrogen, progesterone, you must know all this. And when they start to also lower down, this will affect how our fat is distributed in the body. So it starts to go towards the male, fat accumulation to the midsection, the belly fat. And also what happens in our 40s, we can be at the life stage that we are really surrounded by multiple stress factors. So whether we have young kids or teenage kids, it can be a source of stress.
Yeah, kids are just stressful. Yeah,
they're all stressful. Yes.
but also a source of happiness. Yeah. But then we can have elderly parents that we maybe taking care of. That can create a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. Or if we don't have kids or elderly parents, we can be in our work life. We can be in climbing the ladder and be at the more positions of high responsibility and high stress. And so there are all these different factors that contribute to your stress. And what happens in stress is your cortisol levels go up. And what cortisol does to your fat distribution is the same thing that the male body starts to accumulate to the midsection. Plus, if we have, because of the hormone fluctuations in perimenopause, menopause, and all the stress factors, our sleep can deteriorate. Mm-hmm. And this, again, increases inflammation, stress levels, again, contributes to the fat accumulation to the midsection. So there's really multiple factors.
It's like these cogs, isn't it? Like when one gets jammed, then everything is screwed. Like,
Yeah. So, but you can implement all the six pillars and then they work in synergy to help you in this.
And Dr. Mina, I have to push on something that you brought up, Dr. Tash brought up when she was with us, and that I think our listeners really need to hear again, which is the role of muscle. Right? Mm-hmm. The role of metabolically active tissue that is muscle. I'm just thinking about a patient that we had in today in our clinic and came in with the presenting concerns that exactly what Jasmine was talking about, right? So widening midsection, is it my hormones? Am I perimenopausal? Right? I'm in my late 40s. And the first thing she said was, my exercise routine is spot on perfect. I run, I do spin class, I do Pilates. And I said, and where do we do our progressive strength training? And she was like, oh, no, I don't want to get too bulky. Can you talk to women specifically as a woman and as a doctor about what is the difference between, I guess, lean muscle and the perception of bulk?
I guess that's a very, subjective question. What is bulky?
Yeah.
But I don't think women in general need to be worried about building too big muscles. Actually, you would need to do a lot of strength training to build bulky muscles and eat tons and tons of protein. And normally women just don't do that. I mean, women who compete in these areas.
Amanda's been trying hard.
Yes, exactly. Every day of my life.
Yeah. Amanda, you know how much I love Little Farms? Well, guess what? They've just come on as a sponsor and I am so bloody excited.
Oh, me too. I love that Little Farms isn't just a grocery store. It's been a go-to for top quality, all natural groceries and delicious cafe meals since 2016.
Same. And their commitment to whole food nutrition is amazing. Did you know they've got a banned ingredients list with over 200 items? That means no artificial preservatives, flavors or colors, only real, all natural ingredients.
That is one of the reasons that I trust them so much. Every product on their shelves has been carefully vetted, making it really easy for us to make healthier choices for our families.
And they've really expanded now with 6 restaurants, including their all-day brand new dining spot in Sentosa. Each one has a consistent menu, but also features unique dishes tailored to the neighborhood, like rendang, lamb shank, and sesame tuna tataki.
Plus, they've got amazing weekly deals, like one-for-one small plates on Tuesdays, happy hour on Thursdays, and my personal fave, the kids eat free on Sundays.
And for our listeners, we have an exclusive offer. Get 10% off your online shop at littlefarms.com using code 4TEAS10 when you spend a minimum of $100. It's perfect for stocking up on premium groceries, wellness supplements, and ready-to-eat meals.
Whether you're dining in, grabbing groceries, or stocking up on wellness products, Little Farms has everything you need to eat well and live well.
Now, back to the chat.
But also yeah. Because our, so women also secrete small amounts of testosterone from ovaries, and that also starts to go down with age in women. So it's like the female hormones. And testosterone is needed for bulky muscles too. Mm-hmm. So it's just simply impossible to really build those bulky muscles as well as you're using some anabolic steroids or something, I think.
which you're not supporting this program.
Yeah. I don't think, but women should understand that really the strength training is essential for bone health as well. Really to prevent the osteoporosis, which has to be a big risk factor after menopause.
And that would be to sort of help with, I guess, you know, in case you fall, there's a higher chance of hip fractures and bone yes. fractures, which could then possibly lead to an earlier death if you've got weaker bones. Now, I think a lot of people, when they think about making lifestyle choices, they think they have to do something drastic. You know, they have to severely cut calories. They have to exercise every day. Is this the case with lifestyle medicine, or are there sort of small, realistic changes or things that people can implement to make a difference in their life?
So lifestyle medicine works, dose responsively, just like drugs, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to make big changes in whatever you want to, you know, change, then yeah, big changes can make wonders, right? Yeah. They can do wonders. But more important actually is consistency, right? And in lifestyle medicine in general, the health coaching in general, the patient really defines how they want to go about it, how big of a, you know, goals they want to take and start building on that. So that is really dependent on the patient's motivation, and then the lifestyle medicine doctor works with the patient, you know, how the patient chooses what they want to do, how much, you know, you build these smart goals and yeah, you know what that is, right?
And, but sorry, for people who've never heard of SMART goals,
is a specific, measurable, attainable.
We say relevant.
Oh, relevant, yeah, yes, yeah, right. And relevant time, and time-bound, yeah. Right? Yeah. So these can be like, for example, if you want to change your eating patterns towards more plant-based, you would think like, okay, so I would want to increase my broccoli intake, and so I would start to eat broccoli 2 times per week with dinner, something like this.
Love
so
it.
it's quite measurable. It's time bound, and yeah, for the next 4 weeks or something, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Something like this. Yeah. So
rather
easy,
than
clear
just
steps.
Saying, rather than just saying, oh, I'm going to eat healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Eat healthy kills me.
Yeah.
even eat more vegetables.
Yes,
not
yes.
specific enough. Like yes. when, how.
Yes. What kind of vegetables? Yeah. Is it like yeah.
potato?
Yeah.
Deep fried.
More fried vegetables.
Yeah. not potato chips or fries or yeah. So really whole foods and yeah.
So you've mentioned obviously plant-based a few times. Would you say that there is a particular diet or a particular way of eating that can benefit most people?
Everyone will benefit from eating whole plant-based foods, yes. So really increasing the vegetable intake, because they contain so many good things for you, vitamins, all the phytonutrients, polyphenols. And then really thinking about how much you're eating sugar. So these are the refined carbohydrates that the fiber has been taken out in you know, when the industry processes the foods, so the ultra-processed foods. They usually do not contain any fiber anymore, because industry wants these products to stay, have a long shelf life. And also saturated fat is one thing that has been consistently shown in preclinical and clinical studies to be associated with increased cardiovascular disease risk. And so intake of salt is something that you really should pay attention to, that contributes to hypertension or high blood pressure, a very severe risk factor for cardiovascular disease, stroke and heart attacks, and kidney disease also. So what was there? Sugar, salt, and saturated fat. Mm-hmm. Yes,
three
and
S's.
Then yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and then really the fiber intake, which comes from plants. So fiber is only present in plants.
Mm-hmm. So when someone buys something from a supermarket that says plant based, and it, you know, comes in a nice wrapper that's green, and would you say that? That is then, oh yeah, that's fine to eat? Or would you say, because you mentioned ultra processed there, or would you say that, you know, when you are going plant-based, you should actually be focusing on, you know, whole foods?
Yes, not processed. So just think about, like, rather eating a whole fruit, which contains the fiber, intact fiber, than drinking fruit juice, mm-hmm. for example. Or eating like a apple pie and McDonald's. Yes.
Oh, damn it. I thought that was part of my one a day, yeah. or five a day.
Yes. And then like, the vegetable, like, the, you know, you've heard this, eat the rainbow. So really the different colors, and because they contain different kind of polyphenols and beta carotenes. And so that's essential for everything, for brain health, for endothelial health, if you want. Mm-hmm. So your vascular health, gut health. Reducing inflammation. And then also think about the protein sources, that even the protein source can contain fiber. If you eat nuts and seeds and legumes, especially legumes, so beans and lentils and that stuff. And for women especially, if we go back to menopause a little mm-hmm. bit, so a natural way to get the estrogens is eating soybeans, so for example, tofu, tempeh, natto, miso, drinking soy milk. There was a study done a couple of years ago showing that women, menopausal women that had hot flashes, if they ate half a cup of soybeans for, I think 12 weeks was the study duration, they could cut their hot flash juice by 80%.
Wow.
Yes.
That's what I was missing out on.
Yeah, yeah.
So the soy contains a phytoestrogen or isoflavone, which binds to, so there's two different kind of estrogen receptors in the body, estrogen receptor alpha and then beta. Mm-hmm. So our own estrogen hormones and hormone replacement therapy hormones, they bind to alpha receptor, whereas the phytoestrogens from soy or other beans actually also, they bind to beta receptor. Mm-hmm. And these receptors are in different tissues actually. So when you eat the soy products, you can actually improve your bone health and vascular health and brain health. And you don't increase the risk of, if there is a risk after menopause with the hormones.
Yeah. Wow.
And what would you say to our listeners who, you know, Jasmine kind of mentioned this with the example of the plant-based packaging, but it's like, okay, they hear this podcast and they say, soy, great for me. Now I'm going to get my soy milk at Starbucks every day. And not realizing that a lot of the commercially available soy milk products are heavily sweetened, processed, et cetera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how do you help your patients look for the right kinds of soy products?
Oh, definitely you go to the most original nature packaging, right? From nature, like, you know, edamame beans, like mm-hmm. you kind of get more, more closer than that, right? So the less unprocessed, the better, always. Always. Applies to everything.
Yeah.
So soy milk, yes, you have to carefully look at the sugar content and what is added there. If there's like these emulsifiers that are not good for your gut health. So like I said, you know, soybeans would be the best. And then the fermented soy is even better because from fermented foods, you get the, you know, enrichment of the microbiome, tempeh and natto and miso. Yeah.
Going back to sort of gut health, obviously eating plenty of fiber, introducing probiotics and prebiotics. I also heard that giving your gut a rest is a good idea to help with your sort of microbiome. So what are your thoughts on intermittent fasting? Because I feel like that seems to be quite a buzzword. Everyone's either tried it or are trying it. What are your thoughts about intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating?
There are studies that show benefits from it, for sure. I don't think it's absolutely necessary for you to be, you know, super healthy.
Okay.
But it can help people if they try to find different ways to, for example, reduce whatever they are eating, that if they need to lose weight, it can be one of the methods how you find your own solutions, what works best for you. Definitely the 12-hour fast window, overnight 12-hour fast is recommendable because, yes, you're very right. The gut should be given time to rest, process from the processing of all the food digestion. And I have a longer than 12-hour overnight fast myself, but I wouldn't say that it's needed. But you can experiment with it. Mm. Yeah.
So 12 hours should just be not even considered a fast. That's just your overnight.
That's right.
Sleeping.
Yeah, that's right. That should be the basic.
Absolutely basic. Yeah, and then anything more than that, then that's obviously a tool that you could use if you are either looking to, I guess, optimize weight management or. So it's not like it's needed, but it could be used as a tool if it works for you.
Yes. I mean, there are different approaches also in, there are publications, for example, from Walter Longo, one of the longevity researchers, looking at fasting in itself for diabetes patients to restore the glucose metabolism, how it should actually work to get rid of insulin resistance. Mm. So in his methods, they tried fasting for I think between 3 to 5 days or 3 to 4 days each month, like the cyclical fasting. Mm-hmm. And then so eating very low calorie diet for these, a very specific, it's only plant-based diet in these few days in a month. And then doing this for a few months in a row. And this can actually lead to very good results in reduction in those glucose markers like HbA1c, or the glycated hemoglobin, which is one of the markers in diabetes. fasting, glucose, all this. So yes, body is a very wise in itself, and it knows if you give it a chance, it actually can start repairing itself. if you stop damaging it.
Yeah. That's the key. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. If you stop damaging it. I like that. Yeah. Stop beating yourself up.
So, Dr. Mina, what do you wish every woman in her 40s would know about her health, her body? Is this something you'd love to sort of shout from the rooftops? Now's your chance.
I would want women to understand that their bodies are actually constantly changing throughout their lifetime compared to men. Right? Mm-hmm. We really go through various different phases in our life and even every month, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the hormones. So don't beat yourself up. And also understand that women, if we're now comparing to men, since you said women, I guess, women tend to take a lot of responsibility for other people, but not really taking care of really good care of themselves. Oftentimes they abandon themselves, and this is something that I really want to remind. It's really important to give value to yourself, to really take care of yourself, and especially in the 40s, if we go to this period of time, there's is really a decade of huge transformations that can happen. And you can start in your peak performance, early 40s, and then you can go to the rock bottom in your late 40s because of the transition. Also because the body is aging very rapidly in your late 40s. There's a couple different time points in the human lifespan where the aging happens really rapidly. One is late 40s. One is around 65.
I think I saw an email, part of Peter Attia's mailing list, and he specifically gave the age 44. I was like, oh God, I've got 2 years Whoa. Left. 2 years left.
At the beginning of that rapid aging?
Yes.
And when you say rapid aging, I mean, do you literally mean cellular aging? Do you mean like metabolic demise? Like what are the markers of aging that unfortunately we have to be looking out for in late 40s?
Ah, the hallmarks of aging. Okay, yes. So in this specific study they defined these. I don't remember what markers they were looking at. But there's different kinds of hallmarks of aging, which is oxidative stress, protein dysfunction, mitochondrial dysfunction, low-grade inflammation, telomere shortening. A couple of few ones that I didn't review for this podcast, but so epigenetic changes where you measure the clocks, it differs between different tissues, but one thing is a lot of these clocks that measure the epigenetic changes or DNA methylation, a significant amount of these markers actually related to cortisol or your stress hormone signaling.
Wow.
So really understanding that, you know, that stress is crucial to manage. Yeah.
So we hear oftentimes people say that when they do an intermittent fast or when they do exercise or when they either go to a sauna or a cold plunge, these are all stresses to the body. How does that type of stressor affect the body in comparison to, say, you know, that work deadline that you've got or your kids or your financial stress? Like, how is that different or is it the same? Like, can your body tell?
For sure, like, you know, exercise or, you know, these short-term shocks that have a clear, defined start and end is very different than a chronic stress that you really don't know, or the mental stress, like, you know, your toxic boss or something that's, you know, you lose your sleep with. But so the short duration of the stress is a different kind, and you can recover from that. However, if you accumulate even these short stresses, if you accumulate them too much, you go over your ability to then compensate for all this stress, because all the stress creates, the oxidative stress creates these radicals, oxygen radicals in your body. And if your system is not optimized to work with these oxygen radicals or reactive oxygen species, with, for example, nutritious diet, healthy diet that contains antioxidants, then you accumulate too much of this uncompensated stress in mm-hmm. your system. And this can lead to, for example, mutations in the DNA mm-hmm. because these radicals are really powerful. Yeah. So the sources of stress, you know, if you are not sleeping well, but you are doing all of these you know, exercise mm-hmm. and whatever you were just listing there. But then you have a huge mental stress and you're not sleeping well. So you accumulate a lot of stress that can actually be harmful mm-hmm. in the end. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to know where's your balance, how well you can recover. Yeah.
Yeah. Recovery seems to be key.
Yeah, recovery is a big theme for us on this season. I feel a lot of our experts are talking about recovery. Yeah. I was mentioning that my husband started using the Morpheus, so to track HRV in the morning to test, you know, what kind of protocol he should be using for his cardiovascular training based on how well recovered he is. And there's other protocols that are doing this, right? Aura rings and Garmin. Yeah,
I've got my one. Gives me my body battery score. Started at 100 this morning.
Yeah.
Again.
Whoa, you're good.
I think my sleep has been on point. So yeah. I'm quite excited that, you know, I get to see that is recording decent sleep for me and I wake up feeling refreshed. So the only problem I had this morning was I was running a little bit late, so I didn't have my morning coffee. So when I went to the gym, I was like, why am I really tired? And I was like, oh, I didn't get my usual coffee
boost. Tomorrow's going to be recovery score 99.
I know. I think it will be. I don't think it's going to be quite there. Yeah. But Dr. Mina, it has been absolutely wonderful having you on the show. I feel like we've got so much more to ask you, so we might have to get you back in and maybe talk about some other stuff. But before we go, we do have one question that we like to ask all of our guests, and that is, what is your 40s formula? If you had to summarize what people in their 40s can do to help how they can... Oh, I don't even know what I'm saying. If people had how they can thrive in their 40s, what would you say that would be?
Try to enjoy life to the maximum, because 40s, the decade, now I'm over 50, so I can look back and say it can be a decade of really deep transformation. So be prepared for that. Like I said, take care of yourself. And also take care of other people, because that is important for social connection.
And kindness, yes.
And kindness, yes. So I love this Tibetan saying. I'm not sure if it's Tibetan, but it says that the recipe for a healthy, happy life is a long life is eat half, walk double, laugh triple, and love without measure.
Wow.
I love that. I have not heard that.
That's the perfect formula, isn't it? It's like...
Yeah, that's a literal 40 formula. Yeah. So you're welcome, listeners.
Thank you so much again, Dr. Mina. It has been amazing. And, you know, we would love to have you back on the show at some point.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Want more from the 40s formula? Every Friday, we'll be sending our 4Play Friday newsletter direct to your inbox with 4 hot topics, tips, and trends personally curated by Jasmine and Amanda.
All you need to do is visit the40sformula.com and sign up with your email address. That's the 40s formula.com. This is Paul, our editor.
He's a 25-year-old unmarried Singaporean guy listening to the ramblings of 12 older women on everything from menopause to weightlifting to sex. So, Paul, what's your thoughts on today's conversation?
Lifestyle medicine. Yay! I think it's pretty cool, you know, to have a preventive set of steps to take to actually treat these diseases before they occur in the most natural way possible. And I love the mention of the 6 pillars of lifestyle medicine, being healthy eating, physical activity, restorative sleeping, stress management, avoidance of risky substances, and positive social connections. So guys, there you have it, 6 easy pillars to healthy living. Yay!
Guys, you know how much we love coffee. And if you want to show us some love, you know you can get us one.
Just visit buymeacoffee.com/the40s formula. Cheers. Before we go, please remember to hit subscribe and take a moment to support the 40s Formula by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform.
Your reviews will help us to reach more people and allow us to continue to bring valuable content. It should only take a moment, and it's a free way for you to support the show.
You can also stay updated with the 40s Formula by following us on Instagram at the 40s Formula, all one word. We share behind-the-scenes insights, episode updates, and much more, so please be sure to hit that follow button.
We appreciate your time and support. Thank you for being part of this community, and we'll be back next week for more empowering conversations with inspiring guests.
Bye. Bye.
So you both have three kids.
We do.
Yeah,
we
I have two.
Wow.
Yeah. What are the ages of your kids?
Oh, they're all 21 they're and old. 19.
Wow.
They're 21 and they're studying in university.
They're doing their own thing.
What are they doing at university?
They study. So the older one, so she will graduate in June. Oh, my God.
Wow.
So they're in Toronto, University of Toronto. So she studies biology and environmental biology. Double major. And then the younger one studies psychology.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're both at University of Toronto.
Yes.
That's an amazing school.
That's lovely.
Yes.
Like one of the top schools in Canada.
It is the top school in Canada.
Do they love Toronto? Is that like a lifestyle that fits them and a weather pattern that fits them?
Yeah, so, very different.
Coming from Sweden, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because, so I actually lived outside of Finland for 20-plus years. So we were in Ann Arbor, Michigan for 10 years. The kids were born there.
Were you at University of Michigan?
Yes, we both worked for University of Michigan. And then we came here 12 years ago. So the kids mainly remember, so the kids were that time, let me think, 8 and 5 and a half when it moved? Something like this, yeah. So they mainly remember Singapore as their place where they grew up. And that's a big city, right? So, and we were like, I was like hoping, like, because I'm such a nature level, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what do you like to go somewhere like UBC versus Lyme Nature?
Yeah,
the campus
is
like,
gorgeous.
We need the city.
Yeah,
that's what they used to. It makes sense. Yeah, very different lifestyle.
So then, and now the older one, she wants to like, I want to work in New York City, and I'm like, well. Really? Maybe.
I mean, just keep getting bigger, right? Like from city to city to city, right?
But then I was like, okay, I'm hopeful because, you know, they can still change their mind. They can still move to somewhere with a lot of nature around. Yeah. And